Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's going on, world? It's Santiago. You're now live in the mix with Dr. Teresa Graham.
Good morning to all of my listening audience from around the world.
What a blessing to see another Tuesday morning and another blessing to come together to be back on the air at the Refreshing Waters Ministries Talk Show. I am your host, Dr. Teresa Graham, broadcasting live from Fort Worth, Texas. Now, just in case this is your very time listening in to the Refreshing Waters Ministries Talk Show, we are a show that loves to refresh you with the Word of God. We have guests from around the world who we love on and give them a platform for their ministry God has given them. We also have real-life testimonies and gospel Christian artists from around the world. We have authors that come through and share their books with us. We have shows like The Boys Around the Table. We have The Girls Around the Table. We have the 30-Minute Chat Wednesday with your host, Dr. Teresa Graham. We also sometimes have a 30-minute sermonette on Mondays, but we also have gospel artists and authors and anyone who wants to come through and just tell us and share with us what God is doing in their life. Amen. So this show is like open to anyone. It's a platform. Whatever God has given you, we also have dancers who came, praise dancers who came and gave their testimony of how they started dancing. Amen. So whatever God has given you, then you can come on this show and share it with us. Amen. And let us love on you a little bit. Amen. That's what this show is all about, showing the love of Jesus Christ, showing the love of God the Father and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So if you would like to be interviewed by me, your host, Dr. Teresa Graham, you can submit through email your request, and my assistant will contact you with a date and time. Also, I know some of you are amongst the bustle and the hustle on this Tuesday morning, amen, rushing around trying to get that last-minute shopping done before Christmas. Can I just say, be careful out there today. You have so many people who are not focused on their driving skills, but they're focused on the sale at a Walmart. So you be careful in getting out there this morning trying to get these gifts because you want to make it to that day to give those gifts. Amen. So just be very careful for me. Slow it down a little bit. Amen. Make sure you remain focused on what you're doing and what you have to do. We want you safe. Amen. And for those now of you who are sitting at your desk at work on the computer listening to our show, I would like to thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for you showing the love and support that you have. Amen. Giving this show this far. For those of you who are home and decided not to go to work today to listen to Refreshing Waters Ministries, I want to also thank you for tuning in today, amen, to this show. And if you would like to call into the show live to be a guest on the show or either ask my guest today a question, you can do so by dialing area code 516-531-9244. Remember to press the number 1 key so that I would know you would like to be on the air live. Okay, now that I have all of my housekeeping report out the way. Today with me in the studio is the lovely Alicia Robinson, who's an author of an edgy Christian book series called Love, God, and Tattoo. It is about an orphan teenager named Alcatraz who is looking for God and herself on the streets of Los Angeles. Amen. And I am so excited to have her on the show today. Amen. I looked at her website and I tell you, this young lady, she have written some books. Amen. So I am so elated for her to be a guest today on Refreshing Waters. I would like to say again, if you would like to ask my guest a question today, please come on the show. Please, we would like to hear from you. Amen. And you can dial area code 516-531-9244. This is Dr. Teresa Graham, refreshing you with the Word of God. I'll be right back with my guest, Alicia Robinson. Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Teresa Graham. So happy that you are able to tune in with me on tonight here at Refreshing Waters Ministries, where we believe in refreshing you with the Word of God. I ask that you continue to tune in each week with us and have a blessed time. Come on, pull your seat up. We're getting ready for an awesome show tonight. Come on, y'all. Let's say amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I'll see you after the show.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Welcome back to the show. This is Dr. Teresa Graham, broadcasting live from Fort Worth, Texas. So happy to have you tune into the show on today. That is a song called Rescue Me. I have written, praise the Lord, and I will be releasing a video to Rescue Me February the 28th of 2016. And I pray that you stay tuned because it's going to be an awesome, awesome video. Praise the Lord. So with that in mind, if you would like to call into the show, this is what I want you to do. Please dial area code 516-531-9244. Remember to press the number one key so that I would know that you're on the air and you would like to be on the air live to ask my guest a question. Well, again, like I said, with me I have in the studio lovely, lovely lady by the name of Alicia Robinson. Hello, how are you doing this morning, Alicia?
I am doing fabulous. How are you?
I'm doing fab today as well. So happy to have you here on my show.
Thank you for having me.
You are quite
I was laughing at your introduction. I was like, you want to make sure you're alive to be able to present the gift. You are so right about that. It is crazy. The Christmas shopping is ridiculous.
I know, right?
Yes, it is very, very funny. Oh, my gosh.
I know, right? Well, I just wanted to make sure that everyone, they get their gifts, but we want them to show
right.
up in giving their gifts, you know?
I don't think people think about that part. They just think about getting the gift part. That's why I was laughing. I'm like, that is a thought. Never thought about that.
Yes.
Oh, that was good advice.
Oh,
my
wow.
God. That's funny.
Thank you. I tell you. Well, we have a lot of our listeners who's listening to us via Twitter, Facebook, Blog Talk Radio, and podcast. They were excited mm-hmm. about the show today. And I just want to go ahead and get into our interview so that they can
okay.
love on you and I can love on you and get all that we need to get from you today. Praise God for you.
Okay.
Okay, well, can you start by telling us where you were born and raised?
I am from Chicago, and I was raised there until I was 10, but then I moved down south to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and then we moved to Texas. And then when I turned 18, I was all over the place. I lived in California and Las Vegas and Atlanta, and I live in Nashville now. So kind of, you know,
okay.
I wasn't in the military or anything, but, yeah, we moved around a lot.
Okay, okay, awesome. And when did you consider yourself a writer?
Never! Oh, my gosh, that's the funniest story ever. Maybe after I published book three, after I published book three, which would be like 2013-ish. But, no, I've never wanted to be a writer, never to have it. In fact, when I was in college, I got a D in English. So I never, this was not my strong point. This is something I was sitting in Bible college, and literally the idea just popped in my head. And it was like just start writing this character down. And I did. That was November 2009. And it's been 6 years. And, yeah, it's been a journey. But, no, this is not my plan. This is not my plan at all.
Oh, my God.
We can talk about that. Yeah, just flowing with the Holy Spirit. Yes.
Well, praise the Lord that you – and I love that you said the key word, the Holy Spirit. Spirit, you know,
yes.
Because we know the word of God said, you know, the Holy Spirit will lead and guide us in spirit and truth. So
mm-hmm.
I love that you said that. So what inspired you to write your book series?
Honestly, it was an assignment. So the instructor said it was like a testimony class. He wanted us to write a 2-page testimony of the goodness of God, and then he wanted us to stand up and present it to the class. Well, I kind of looked around the room, and I was in school in Atlanta, Georgia, and for the most part, all my classmates were brought up in the church. Like, you know, one was from Brazil, one was from New York, but the rest were from the South, and they pretty much had the same story in a way. And so I'm like, this is going to be a boring assignment. You know what I mean? Not to put down anyone's experience, but when you're born and raised in the church, you know, you go to church and you have a falling out with God and you might leave or you might have questions, but you still go. So I'm like, well, this will be a boring assignment. But I used to live in LA and Vegas, like I said, and I, you know, there's a lot of eclectic people out West. It's very creative, very free, spiritually seeking people out there. And I was like, what if one of those girls were in this classroom right now? You know, she's totally tatted. She's pierced. You know what I'm saying? She might have blue hair. Mm-hmm. She just might wear leather pants to school. You know, what would her testimony look like? What would she say God brought her through? And literally, I knew her name. Her name was Alcatraz right away. She just popped in my head, and that's what inspired this whole journey. And funny thing, I was living with a roommate from New York who just so happened to be in the publishing industry. And so I went to her and I was like, oh my God, okay, so you're a writer, I'm not, but I have this idea. And so I explained to her the idea. She was like, because the assignment was only supposed to be 2 pages. And I was writing and it was 11 pages when I was done. She was like, well, girl, if you have 11 pages and keep writing, you never know what it turns into. And now 8 books later, she was right about that. You know, it's not, yeah, that's what inspired me was the assignment. The goodness of God in someone's life who on the outward, you know, looks shunned, the church would shun, and people judge and people might have harsh words or condemning words against them. But inside, they're on that same search, trying to have that same relationship with God as everyone else. They just express themselves a little bit more creatively. So that's where it all originated from.
Oh, praise God. And how long did it take you to write those 8 books?
Well, 2 of them aren't done yet. 6 and 7 aren't done yet. So there's 6 out of the 8. Technically, the first one was, I started November 2009. I published that in 2011. It's been like a book a year, but this year I'm going to put out 2 books, book 5 and the devotional. And so I guess you can kind of say, okay, here's the thing. It doesn't take me a long time to write it, actually. I'm pretty disciplined when it comes to writing. It takes me a long time to edit. That's the procrastination for me. So I have to go back through. Like, writing to me is like you just throw up. That first draft, you're just vomiting on the page. Whatever you feel, you know, led to write, you write. It makes no sense whatsoever. But then you have to go back and clean up the mess. And that's the problem for me. So it probably takes, like, maybe 8 months or, you know, the whole process, probably 8 to 9 months, something like that.
Okay. And can you at this time give us a title to the 6 books that you've already published?
Yes, the first book is called Alcatraz, the Lost Pearl. The second book is Alcatraz, the Righteous Pearl. The third book is Kuriko, the Damaged Pearl, and that is a novella. The fourth book is Alcatraz, the Prodigal Pearl. Next week, I'll be publishing Alcatraz, the Found Pearl. And then there's a devotional. It's called the Love, God, and Tattoos Devotional, 40 Days of Unconditional Love. Book 6 will be called Alcatraz, the Restored Pearl. And then the final book will be Ebony, the Backslidden Pearl, and that'll be a novella.
Oh, wow. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's exciting. And it's exciting.
I know, right? I'm excited for you. And also, is there a message in your books that you want readers to receive? What is the message that you want each reader to receive from your books?
That God loves them. If they don't get anything else, if they get nothing else, they look past the grammar, look past her attitude, look past maybe my poor writing, whatever. And if the Holy Spirit reveals to them that they are loved unconditionally, it doesn't matter if they're a transgender reading it, it doesn't matter if they're in prison reading it, it doesn't matter if they're at the bar reading it. Jesus loves everybody. That is the central message of the entire book. That's why it's Love, God, and Tattoos. Tattoos is just, I put tattoos there because Alcatraz is a tattoo artist. But it could be anything. Mm-hmm. It could be love, God, and alcoholics. It could be love, God, and pornography. You know, the love of God can completely free us from any issue, any addiction, any weakness that we have. And so I want people to walk away from this series knowing that they are deeply, truly, immensely, unconditionally loved by God, no matter what situation they're in, what they've done in the past, maybe what they're even planning to do in the future. They are loved by God. That is the message.
Praise God. I love that. And also, out of the 6 books that you've written, which one is your favorite?
Probably Kuriko.
And why is that?
Kariko, I didn't plan on writing her. She became Alcatraz's best friend. She's from Japan, but she's in the sex trade. Sex trafficking is really dear to me. Sex trafficking is the sell of pretty much the violation of underage girls and boys, sexual exploitation of underage girls and boys. And Kariko is very common in Asia for girls to enter the trade at the age of 4. And that was her story. And so she's had a very traumatic life. But even with all of her pain and all her trauma, she kind of is like a guardian angel to Alcatraz. And, you know, she knows that's all she knows are the streets. Basically, Alcatraz knows nothing about the streets. So she kind of takes Alcatraz under her wing. And so writing her, I really felt the heart of God towards people writing Kariko. It was almost like I felt like she was her Jesus in a way. You know, not in the literal sense, but... So she was probably my favorite so far as okay. the books that I've published so far. Yeah.
Okay. And who designed the covers of your book?
Corey Club. I think his company is called Gold Bold Designs by Corey. He is amazing mm-hmm. because he took one, and this is why we all need each other. Because he took one little idea I had and morphed it into something so eclectic and so beautiful and so just fresh. I mean, it's Christian fiction, but you really can't tell by the covers, which is kind of the look I was going for because I wanted to really reach the searching, the girl who's kind of looking and just has questions. And so I think he mm-hmm. totally nailed it with the tattoos, and we went back and forth on the model and all that. I think he just totally nailed it. Did an excellent job.
Okay. Yeah, they are beautiful.
Thank you. He's really good at that.
You're welcome. Yeah, he's great. Awesome. I looked at the covers and I was impressed. I was like, all right, I love it.
Yes. And you know what else is really, I have to say this too. I was in Family Christian Bookstore the other day, and nothing against that company per se. But if you look at the fiction section, if you walk into Mardell's or any kind of Christian bookstore and you go to the fiction section, you will not see, I mean, I saw zero minority faces. I didn't see any blacks. I didn't see any Hispanics. I didn't see any Asians. I didn't even see anyone who looked Native American. They're either Caucasian or they're Amish, which is fine. I mean, they're God's children too. But I feel every race needs to be served properly because we are all God's children and we are all valuable and we all mean something to him. And so I don't know if that's a Christian publishing thing or I don't know whose idea that is or who created that, but I really want to put all color faces on my books just to show that person who looks like that yes, you look like this and Jesus loves you just the way you are.
Oh, yes, that's beautiful. Well said. Maybe you should submit something to the companies.
I really should, because I'm passionate about that.
Yeah. And do you have your books in the stores now, or are they just sold online, or how would my listeners get your books?
They are online. They're pretty much most of the online retailers: Amazon, Barnes and Noble, iTunes, Kobo, Books a Million, Indie Reader. Those are the major online retailers that I sell at.
Okay. Awesome. And I'll go ahead and you know, I would love for you at the end of the show to give us that information again. So, what is the hardest part of writing your book? What was the hardest part about writing your books?
Honestly, the editing. The editing because, you know, the creativity, that's something that I'm really blessed with. I've always had a very creative mind. So creativity and kind of listening to what the Lord wants me to say in the book is easy. So it's easy for me to sit down and write, but it's hard for me to go back and reread what I wrote and make sense of it and make it linear and just make it a story. And so editing and putting the pieces together and filling in the plot holes, that is probably the hardest for me. And that takes the longest. If I can get that down, if I can get a joy for editing down, then it won't take me 8 to 9 months. It'll probably take me, 3 to 4. But that's what it is. I hate editing. I hate reading what I wrote. I so do. I don't know why that is. Most writers love to read their words. I hate it. I hate reading my words.
Right.
So, yeah, that's what it is.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, how important is prayer to you when you begin to write? Do you pray before you write? How important is prayer to you?
It's very important. Yes, I want this book to be, I feel like this book is already divinely guided because he gave it to me. And so mm-hmm. I don't pray every time I write. A lot of times I know where I'm going. I just kind of already see it. But when I don't know, like say I have like 1,000 word a day, word count or whatever, and I'm sitting down looking at a blank page and I have like not one word on the page, then I'll start praying in tongues and be like, okay, I'll just say, you know, Father, what is it that you want me to write today? And then I'll start praying in tongues, and it always comes. He's very faithful. It always, and it might not be what I wrote, you know, the day before. A lot of authors try to write linearly. I write out of sequence. It might be a completely different scene. Might not even be in the book that I'm writing it, you know, writing about. Right? It might be the next book. But, prayer is very important, and listening and being obedient to what I'm supposed, the message and what I'm supposed to put in the book is very important because, you know, I am not Alcatraz. I did not live her life. She lived a very hard life, very, she just lived a very tumultuous life, like a lot of runaways in this country. And so I really have to rely on the Holy Spirit because he knows. He knows who the real Alcatrazes are. I want to be true to the real person, even though I'm not her. So he has to kind of lead me and guide me on the language and what she goes through and all that. And he knows how it's going to end. It's hard when you're writing a series, especially when you really don't know how it's going to end so much. So everything needs to tie together. So, yeah, prayer is so important, basically. Prayer is very important to make sure that it all, you know, ties in together at the end so it all flows and the story makes sense.
Right. Okay.
And then let me ask you the right people.
Oh, yes, yes. You definitely need the right people. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this question, though, and I want you to really think about this question as I ask you, because I really want to know exactly what you're thinking or feeling or what the Holy Spirit is, you know, releasing you to say to us. If someone who's really religious, and I'm talking about so religious, do you think that this book will be a book for them? Will they buy your book? Someone who's so religious, you can't even blow your nose the wrong way. You know, someone that's holier than thy, you know, that think they're, you know what I'm saying? They just so religious, traditional. Will they buy your book? And
I'll
why?
Offend them on the first page because I think she uses profanity on the very first page. No, this book, my avatar is really not the church, honestly. I've been blessed where a lot of Christians have bought it, and they weren't the really religious type, and they enjoyed it. But my avatar is really the girl on the street who's kind of searching for God, searching who he is, you know, and who's, you know, maybe an orphan or a runaway or just has a bad relationship with their family. And just kind of in that space where they want to know what life is about, why are they here, they want to know their place, they're kind of discovering themselves. They're not really in the church. They're pretty creative. They're millennial, more than likely. They're young. And so that's my avatar. That's my audience. If anyone else outside of that reads it, praise the Lord. That's awesome. But really, she's my girl. I'm writing to a specific person. So, you know, praise God. I had an editor. It's funny you say that because I had an editor who told me to tone down the profanity. I can tell the way she wrote it in the email. She was offended just by the profanity used, you know. But she didn't really know Alcatraz, you know. And so this happens, you know, how these girls are living. This is real life for a lot of women. And so for me to take that to somebody who is so judgmental and condemning, and if they were to meet an Alcatraz in real life, would not show the love of Christ, no, this series is not for them.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And the reason why I asked that, because I was feeling in the spirit, you know, the Lord was speaking to me the same time I was talking with you, that people that's really religious, they will not buy this book. Now, I have not read your book yet. I have not read your book, but I was looking at the front of the cover, and as I was looking, I was praying, and then, you know, while you were speaking earlier on the show, then the Lord had me to say that to you, to ask you that question, so that my listening audience who's listening to us via Twitter, Facebook, Blog Talk Radio, and podcast, they will hear what you have to say, because that's mm-hmm. exactly, and you spoke well, because a lot of people are stuck in religion, and mm-hmm. a lot of people are judgmental, and a lot of people, you see what I'm saying, but this
right.
is the reason why I have asked you, and I'm happy that you answered that. Do you have anything else to add to that?
Yeah, you know, it's so funny. The Lord wants a relationship. I hear you saying religious, and it's so sad that there's millions of people still religious, because it really boils down to relationship. You know, the Lord,
yeah.
you know, loved David. He was after God's own heart. David wasn't perfect. David was an adulterer. David was a murderer. If you looked at David's life in the natural, you would not think that he was after God's own heart. But that's what God
exactly.
said. This is a man after my own heart. He wasn't looking at the natural. And so that's, unfortunately, a lot of Christians don't get that. They look at natural stuff. They don't know people's backstory. They just judge them for what they see. And they don't know that they're condemning
exactly.
probably one of the most sincere, purest, religious seekers probably that they've ever met. You know, if they were just, these people are so hungry. They're so, and
that's
saying
right.
that was me.
Right.
They're so spiritually hungry. They're so desperate for answers that if they were just to
mm-hmm.
show a little bit of love, they would draw to the light. You know what I mean? But unfortunately,
mm-hmm.
a lot of people
mm-hmm.
aren't there yet. So, but there are, praise God, many people who are there. So I just
mm-hmm.
focus on those other people and just pray for everybody else. It's, you know, we all have, none of us are perfect in the natural, it's all in the spirit. And all the Christian walk is renewing our minds to what he's already done in the spirit, renewing our minds so that we are all the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, no matter how we look or what we've done or what we haven't done. You know, the grace of God, who Jesus is, I don't think is a true revelation in a lot of churches. He's not an angry God. He is not a mean God. You know, he didn't come here to condemn us. He came here to save us, to make us whole, to complete us, to heal us. He didn't come here to pass
yeah.
judgment on us because we have a tattoo or we, you know, whatever, our pants are sagging below our butt or, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's not
right.
his heart. It's to look
mm-hmm.
at what's wrong with us. He's not the fault finder. You know, he builds us up. He edifies us up. So that's the people who I'm focused on so much more than.
Okay.
I do have a story for the religious, but it's going to come later. In a couple years, but this is not the one.
Oh, okay.
This is definitely not the one. Yeah. I think I'm gonna,
okay.
by the time I'm done writing all the series that I have inside of me, I'm probably going to reach every person in the church, every demographic
okay.
within the church. Yeah.
Okay. 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 And what is your work schedule like when you're writing?
I normally try to write 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, 1,000 words a day. Sometimes I do 1,500 to 2,000 words a day, but the minimum is 1,000 words a day. So that usually, like a minimum of 5,000 words a week, that's usually a minimum of 20,000 words a month. So the first draft can take me like 3.5 months, but it's usually like 3 months. But then again, like I was
okay.
saying, it takes me like 4 or 5 months to put that first draft into some kind of readable form. And then my editor
uh-huh.
has to pay me to have it for a month or two. And so it's a process. But yeah, it's a word count. I have a word count goal.
Okay. And do you isolate yourself when you're writing?
I love coffee shops. No. I can write at home, but I prefer to be in coffee shops, a whole bunch of noise, really loud music, and just, you know, all kinds of people are there for different reasons. That stimulates my brain for whatever reason, and I write better when I'm under that kind of condition as opposed to being at home when everything is really quiet. I don't really like that.
Really? Oh, okay. Okay. Well, I have a caller on who would like to come on and ask you a question, if that's okay with you.
Okay.
So I'm going to go ahead and take a quick break, and then when we come back, we can go ahead and have him come on and ask you a question. Stand by. For all of my listening audience who's listening to us by Twitter, Facebook, Blog Talk Radio, you can call into the show by dialing area code 516-531-9244. Press the number 1 key so that we would know that you would like to come on the air live to ask my guest, Alicia Robinson, a question today. I'll be right back.
Jesus Christ is coming back again. The dead in Christ shall rise. Can you see the horses running? Hallelujah to the Lamb of God.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Welcome back. Again, this is Dr. Teresa Graham with Refreshing Waters Ministries, coming of the Lord by myself, Teresa Graham. Amen. Well, we are here with my guest, author Alicia Robinson. Amen. And And I tell you, we've been having a blessed time with her. And I'm going to go ahead on and bring the Stinson on. Minister Stinson, you're on the air live. How are you doing this morning?
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing fine.
Is there a question you would like to ask?
Yes, I was.
Okay.
Mulling over some things, and I wanted to start with some encouragement towards her. I know she's on a road that has a lot of rocks and a hard path in it, and you know, riders, that's what riders have, or they will experience, actually, because of with putting out what they have to put out, and you know, it's they're trying to, I know, put healing. She's trying, actually, that's what I want to express, is she's trying to spread, put out healing, and I can see that's what she's trying to do. And I commend her for that very much. I would like to start out with, you know, what was there some experiences in her life that led her with a that through some of the imaginativity that she has to write?
Are you asking, did I experience some of the stories that I wrote about with Alcatraz, or just writing in general?
Well, just in, it could be writing in general, or something in your life that through somebody, or you know, just you know, it, was there any experiences? You know, I know sometimes my mother always told me when she was alive, experience is the best teacher, and I always agreed. I learned that through life that she was right, you know, because the School of Hard Knocks really teaches us.
Right.
Yes,
I have been through a lot of stuff. Not the same storyline as Alcatraz, as far as what has happened to me in the natural, but emotionally. You know, spiritually seeking, feelings of rejection, feelings of suicide, feelings of being depressed and being hopeless and fearful and not knowing, you know, and confused and feeling like you don't belong anywhere. Yes, I have experienced a lot of that. And that's what a lot of what Alcatraz goes through. I put in a different story form for her, but yes. I did experience that, and that's where a lot of maybe that's one of the reasons too why it was so easy for me to write her, even though I wasn't really telling my story, because the emotion was there, and I was writing in that place of emotion from her perspective. It was easier for me to connect. But to me, Alcatraz is a real person, even though she's not. I know she's not real. I'm not schizophrenic. I know she's not real, but to me, she's a real person because I connect and I identify with what she's going through on an emotional level. Plane. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you could testimony to that. You know, it's good that you can do that. But I am sure a lot of this that you're doing is putting healing in your life also.
I think, he's, God is a good God. Yeah, it is, for sure. You know, he is a healer, Jehovah Rapha, that's who he is. And he's so not going to lead me to write a story that will heal, you know, many girls along the way and not heal me in the process. He, through his word and even through Alcatraz's life, even the, it's funny, some of the situations she's going through, like right now there's a huge forgiveness scene that I'm writing for her, you know, and so I'm writing forgiveness for her, but then looking at my life saying, who haven't I forgiven? You know what I mean? So, yeah, through, like, it's like a mirror sometimes with what she's going through. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily what I'm going through. It might even be, like, the Holy Spirit revealing things I wasn't aware of that he would like me to deal with, kind of like those roots he didn't plant, and purging me and refining me and all that through her story. So, yeah, the healing is definitely a twofold. It's really good. It's really powerful.
Yeah, I can sense that you, well, like the scripture says, are into the with the pruning circumstance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I like that you're that way. You can relate to pruning because that can build a person to have more fruits in them.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. You know, I love John 15 when he says, I am the vine and you are the branch. You know what I mean? And abide in me and you'll produce much fruit that will last. You know, branches don't run out of, you know, they might change, it might change seasons and, you know, the seasons outside might change, say if you live in Chicago or whatever, so you're not going to grow apples year-round long. But as soon as the season comes then, you know, as soon as the weather is right, the apples just grow effortlessly. You know, the branches don't really have to do anything. And so they just all have to just be connected to the roots, you know, the trunk that's rooted into the ground, where I feel kind of like that's how I am with Christ. You know, as long as I keep my focus on him and keep my heart, you know, keep, like he says, abide in me, abiding in him and keeping my thoughts about him, you know, he's going to effortlessly prune me. And it really is kind of effortless in a way. You know, as I write, it's just stuff comes up. As I write her, stuff comes up with me. Not the same situation, but like I say, the same emotion. And so, you know, he wants to prune all of us and refine all of us and make us all gorgeous from the inside out. That's I feel like that's his MO. That's his mojo. That's a transformation process, you know. And that's, so yeah, I'm totally, you're so right, hit the head, like the nail right on the head when you said that. So yeah, he's definitely healing me through Alcatraz and pruning me and refining me through her as well. It's weird because it's not very traditional. It's not in a traditional sense. But he works in the way that we can understand it. Whatever way we can grasp it is how he works, you know. And so, yeah, you're absolutely correct.
You know, I love the scripture that talks about how he takes the foolish things to confound the wise.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that scripture really strikes on us, really. You know, we don't understand that scripture until we break it down and see what it really means and maybe read it more than one time. You know, we have to break it down sometimes by syllables and to know what it really means, that one scripture, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because it really hits the core of a person's life, of how God will want to mold you and structure you and make you to his glory.
Mm-hmm.
So that he can have his glory working for others, you know, to come to his kingdom, you know, because he don't wish anybody to perish.
Right, right. Exactly. Yes. Yes. And that scripture is so true. You know, as you were talking, I was thinking, I've been through years of counseling. My mom took me to a therapist when I was 7. And I've just been through years. I'm 35. So I've just been through years and years of counseling. And there's nothing wrong with, you know, psychology and psychiatry and medicine and all that. I do think it can do a lot of good for someone. And it did do some good for me. But I'm telling you, I gave my life to Christ in 2007, and I have had more healing done in this short period of time being with him than all those years of counseling combined, you know. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, he gets to the root of something. He guts it out. Like, I don't think God believes in small talk. You know, he goes straight end for the meat of something, and whatever it is that's in us, you know, if we're willing to give it up. Some of us want to hold on to our junk, but if we're willing to give it up, you know, he's willing to go in there and do all the work for us. And so that, if I were to, you know, go back to some of my old counselors and talk to them again, I'm sure they would want to be, you know, all those sessions we had and da-da-da-da, what actually happened if I told them, you know, just studying the Bible and, you know, writing this book, and they would be like, yeah, no, that doesn't, you know, you can't get healing like that. But it is. That's just how God works through me. You know, that's his way of working through me. So you're so right about that. The scripture is very, very true.
Mm-hmm. You know, I also love the way God approaches with us with love in so many different ways, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome how he, you know, each one of us is different, and I'm glad he created each one of us different. It'd be a shame if we all were the same in this world.
Right. No, it would be. It would be very boring, too.
Yes.
It would be very boring, because, like, you'd be talking to yourself the whole time, really. If everybody, like, for example, everybody was a writer, I mean, that would be, I think everyone does have a book in them, but if everyone was really creative and, you know, and expressed themselves through all art, then I think after a while it'd be a pretty boring conversation. You know what I'm saying? I think our hobbies and our uniqueness and our strengths, I think that's what makes it, you know, that's what makes life fun and exciting, and to learn something new and to step outside of our box and outside of our comfort zones and, you know, understand people of different cultures and just different, you know, what they do, you know, different socioeconomics, even just understanding everybody for, you know, their differences and appreciating them instead of, you know, maybe being fearful of them and, you know, keeping them in the unknown and, you know, building up this whole wall of prejudice in your mind against a certain group of people, you know, understand them, get to know them and appreciate them and accept them the way he accepts us, because he does accept all of us. He created all of us. We're all created in his image. So I think we need to know his image. We need to know everybody, you know, get to know as many people, different kind of people that, you know, are on this planet. And so, yeah, that's definitely my heart with this series, is for people to get to know the heart of God, which is acceptance and love.
I love your heart. It seems like a reaching out heart. I can see that when you were speaking to Dr. Graham, how he was saying that you want to be a type of person that showers and he spoke of how you don't like it when a person is comes against the outer color of a person, and
right,
and I like that, and you know, we shouldn't look at the outer color. We should look at the heart of the person, like God does. And
right.
And he put that color there for us to. So I'm almost certain there was a purpose in all of us having a different color, you know, because he was doing that to put an image that we need to look beyond what we're seeing.
Right, right.
And for me, so much of the time, we don't want to do that. We want to look at what we're seeing and what is
because
going
it's
on.
Easier. I think it's just easier. It's easier to look at somebody, size them up, and keep it moving,
it
as opposed to actually getting inside of the person and seeing what they're about. Yeah.
It is. It certainly is. And that's why we're so quick to judge and so quick to formulate things and think that we're better than that next person when we're not really better than the next person.
Right.
We've got to be so quick to be humble, like God has always tried. I know he's always tried to direct me to use my humbleness, and I have to quit myself when I don't use that humbleness. And I know. I feel like I'm pouring out my spirit here. I'm sorry. Anyway, you know, our humbleness is a very good God-given gift that Jesus had, you know, and he wants us to use it and to exercise towards others. I've noticed that in my life. And, you know, if we don't use it, it's not, we're not really exercising love, you know. Even if we're not humble to admit that we're, you know, so much of the time we don't even want to admit that we're wrong if we're not wrong, you know. And I like to try and practice that at times, you know. It gets hard to practice that because it really gets hard to practice that type of humbleness, you know, because Jesus practiced that type of humbleness when he was on the cross. He was practicing that, you know. He didn't have to do what he did. No, he didn't.
Right. He didn't. You're right.
But he did because God loved us, and he wanted to exercise that love. And
you know, when you're talking about humility, a pastor said this once, and I so caught on to it. Humility, I think humility is believing about yourself what God believes about you, and believing about others what God believes about them. You know, God looks at us as, you know, we are the righteousness of God. You know, we have the mind of Christ. We are the head and not the tail. We are blessed, and, you know, we can go on and all that. And to not just see that for yourself, but to see that in every human being, no matter how they're acting or, you know, how they look, to look at that man or woman and say, you know what, God created that person in his image. This is a DNA. This is a footprint. This is a reflection of God I'm talking to. You know, he bestowed the same mercies upon this person as he bestowed on me. And so, you know, to take the word of God and to get our heart established and our true identity and who we are, but then to take that same verse and extend it to other people no matter how they're acting. Even just for example, right now, I'll just say Donald Trump. You know, a lot of people have a lot of things to say about Donald Trump. I don't know if he's a believer or not, but I know Jesus died for him. And I know, you know, Jesus still looks at him as the righteousness of God. Jesus still looks at him because, you know, that he's blessed, not because he has material things, but he just created him blessed. You know, his views and opinions of him don't change because of how we act. And so that's for me, is humility, is to get our thoughts aligned with God's. Because if we're not aligning with God, then that's truly prideful. You know, Jesus was, people say he was humble, but Jesus called it like it is. I am the Son of God. You know, before Abraham was even born, I am. Jesus knew who he was, and he had zero shame telling anybody who asked him who he was. That, you know, he didn't downplay himself. He didn't, he didn't, you know, make himself like a worm underneath the table. You know, he boldly confessed his authority, his royalty, his deity, his majesty. And I think, you know, we need, I think the body of Christ needs to get to the point to where our hearts are established and our righteousness and our majesty and our authority that he gave us, and then extend that to every person we meet. It's hard to do, especially with certain people. It's hard to do. But to extend that, and I think that's walking in true humility, is when our thoughts are just so in line with his thoughts that we're thinking exactly the same thing.
I know I'm probably holding up the phone because there probably are others that want to ask questions, but I guess I felt like I need to pour out, and I'm sure I'm probably formulating healing in your own life, but it's formulating healing to me also.
Praise God. Refreshing Waters Ministries. That's awesome. That is awesome. That's what this ministry does, right? Exactly. Praise God. That's good.
That is good. Oh, I love it. Praise the Lord. Well, because of time, we're going to have to end the show, but definitely thank you, Minister Spencer, for calling in to ask Alicia Robinson a question. Praise the Lord.
Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, right. Alicia Robinson, thank you so much for being on Refreshing Waters Ministry.
Thank you for having me.
Today. I tell you.
Thank you so much for having me. It was really, really fun.
You're quite welcome, and we're going to have you come back when you finish these other verses, because you said you're on 7 and 8, right?
Right, I'm working on the last two now, right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. When you finish with those, please come back and share your books with us, and then we can probably, have a longer show, and then we can really love on you some more. So thank God for
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's been a really pleasure.
You're quite welcome. Okay, well, everyone, this wraps up our show for today. Praise the Lord. Please join me tomorrow at 8 a.m. Central and 9 a.m. Eastern. I will be teaching a 30-minute lesson about Mind Your Beeswax. I promise you now, you will be blessed by the lesson. Amen. Also, our show will resume January the 2nd. With the girls around the table, Let That Revenge Go is the topic. That show will start at 9 a.m. Central and 11 a.m. Eastern. If you wish to be a guest on our show, please email us at admin@refreshingwatersmin.org. Amen. I don't know about you, but I had a blessed time today. And I just ask that you continue to listen to us. Amen. Because we're on every week. We're on Sunday, Monday. We're on Wednesday and Saturdays now. So I would love to hear from you guys. Keep us in prayer. You go in peace. And remember that Jesus is love. And you hug somebody today and tell them you love them. I can't tell you how important that word is to hear you say, you love them. Amen. God bless you all. Until the next show, I am Dr. Teresa Graham, refreshing you with the Word of God.
Thank you.
said he would never leave us nor forsake us. He will be with us to the end of the time. So it doesn't matter what battles you are in, just know that God will fight your battle and he will set you free today.